Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you, and I appreciate you being here. Today's guest is Shanil Ibrahim. He is one of our neighbors from the north. He is based in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. He was an epidemiologist and now works at Deloitte. And he is a millennial. And I am delighted to welcome him to the podcast. Glad you're here, Shanil.
Thanks for having me on the pod, Rob.
No problem at all. So tell me a little bit about yourself and your role in healthcare, please.
Yeah, happy to. I'm a partner at Deloitte, and in my role, I'm privileged to lead our national life sciences and healthcare consulting business in Canada. And now for the listeners who may not be familiar with Deloitte, Deloitte is the largest global professional services firm, and we provide services in consulting, audit, tax, financial advisory, and risk advisory. And we've got a global army of 400,000 people, and here in Canada, got over just over 14,000 people. And so in my role, I get to steer the ship for our life sciences and healthcare consulting group. And it's a fantastic team made up of around 1,000 practitioners where we get to cover a wide range of areas from working on complex strategies with organizations to streamlining operations to implementing AI, digital, and health solutions to our human capital business where we prepare organizations for the workforce of the future. And what I'm extremely proud to say is that we're a purpose-driven organization and we make the lives of our citizens better, and our work is rooted in strengthening our society and economy. And we do that all by partnering with healthcare organizations, both the public sector as well as the private sector, in their most challenging and their most pressing problems. And then prior to Deloitte, I was I wore a different set of hats. So I was a clinical epidemiologist, a researcher, and a bioethicist, both in the Canadian and the U.S. hospital sector. And I also spent some time internationally in Switzerland and Netherlands, where I had faculty appointments and research appointments. And then I also sit on not-for-profit boards for senior housing and serving children with disabilities. So the common theme across all the work that I do is I work with underserved and vulnerable populations, and that's always been a core connective tissue in terms of my purpose. And I'm passionate about driving better outcomes and making real impact on people's lives. And that's me in a nutshell.
Excellent. Okay. So when you're talking about what you're doing, it sounds like there's a lot of effort on the patient experience, the patient outcome with that. Is there any effort being put into the provider experience? Because what I'm seeing is a lot of providers are burnt out. They are just, they're jaded by the system sometimes, and we're not paying very much attention to their experience. And listen, the patient experience is first and foremost, but we can't forget the provider experience. What are your thoughts there?
Absolutely, right? It's I think a lot of the work that we end up basically doing is around patients, but at the same time, we do a lot of work in terms of alleviating physician burden. So a classic example of what we do is we spent the last 10 to 15 years in helping institutions get access to electronic health records. So this is one where it was around removing the whole ability to write in patient charts and moving them to electronic digital health records. Now, when we did that, we ended up alleviating a lot of burden. But over the last few years, what we ended up doing as a result of digital tools is increasing the burden, because for every hour that that physicians spend with patients, they spend 2 hours documenting about the patient. So something that we thought was initially helping them, we ended up inundating them with a lot of documentation at the end of the day. So now what we're actually introducing is working with a lot of electronic health record companies, whether it's your Epics, your Meditech, and your Cerners of the world, to be able to introduce AI tools where now a physician could end up dictating their notes it gets transcribed into the electronic health record and using AI algorithm to start to populate what fields that they would initially input into as well. So that's a lot around what we're doing around alleviating patient burden. And it's a lot of the smart doctor type of work that we end up basically doing. So that's a great example of not only are we impacting physicians and clinicians, but being able to take the time that they initially put into documentation and putting that into patient care, which is what they should be doing.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I've referenced this often, but one of my former guests was talking about how a lot of times physicians now enter the patient room with their nose in their computer already, that they're starting to work on their documentation. And she actually asks herself before she goes into the patient room what color the patient's eyes are, so that as she enters, the first thing that she's doing is looking the patient directly in the eyes to see it, to make the eye contact, so that it's not my computer's more important than you. So it is within that realm. There is a lot of work that's being done, and it's good. And every step forward has a learning curve that goes with it. In thinking about our interview, this next question was actually the one that I'm excited to ask and to hear what your thoughts are. And that is, what is your definition of quality healthcare?
That's a great question. And depending on the individual you ask, they're going to give you a different flavor of what quality healthcare means. So to me, what quality healthcare means is that we're providing better or more effective care, and we're providing it in an accessible way as well. So in Canada, which is a country known for its universal health system, quality means that every individual, regardless of their background or their financial status, has access to essential health services. So this includes not just emergency care, but also preventative services and treatments for chronic illnesses. And a tangible example of this is how we handle primary care, or, you know, in layman terms, your access to family doctors or GPs. And in many communities, there are health centers where you can see a family doctor or specialist without worry about cost. And this fundamental access is crucial for early detection and management of health issues, right? Which is not impeded by your finances. But quality also means effective treatment. So in North America, we're fortunate to have some of the world's leading healthcare professionals. And, you know, for instance, we have Mayo Clinic, we have Cleveland Clinic, which are world-renowned centers. In Canada, we have Sunnybrook and University Health Network that all reflect a high standard of medical excellence and gives us assurance that we're moving towards more effective care. But beyond these technicalities, you know, quality care is also about patient-centered care. It's about healthcare professionals taking the time to listen and understand patient concerns, much like the example that you mentioned around someone looking a patient directly in the eye. And this comes down to any clinician, whether it's a nurse comforting a worried patient in a clinic or a doctor in a small town, going the extra mile to ensure that the patient understands their treatment plan. And those are all part of improving patient care and improving patient outcomes and ultimately high quality of care. So you can see that quality healthcare is this holistic concept that combines effective medical care that is rooted in patient-centric approach, where our job is to ensure that every citizen receives care that they need and they deserve.
Yep. So it is a high level of care. It is a care that is effective and care that is accessible. So well said. Okay. You've kind of done this already, but it's one of my six, so I've got to ask anyway. Can you give me an example of quality healthcare? And you've given me several, and if you don't mind giving one more, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe the example that I could touch on for quality of care is around improving access, because that's a challenge that we, even at Deloitte, is working with a lot of organizations in improving. And one of the best ways we can provide access to healthcare is through technology, which can and is becoming, you know, a game changer for a lot of folks. So I'm going to take an example with diabetes specifically, which is obviously not just a major chronic illness within North America, but it's a major chronic illness globally as well. And we have seen technology really provide better access. So an example of this is in Canada, we have a bit of a quiet revolution with diabetes and technology, thanks to continuous glucose monitoring, or CGM for short. And these are these little devices that continuously monitor your sugar levels, and they send the data right to your smartphone or a dedicated device. Now, the reason why this is important, as opposed to now, great that we have a wearable device, but imagine a person living, with diabetes, specifically type 1 diabetes, where your body cannot make insulin, and you were likely dealing with this disease since you were a child. So before CGM, your life was a series of finger pricks or guesswork of how much insulin you exactly need. And it's a bit like driving a car without a fuel gauge. And you sort of knew when you needed to refuel, but there's always a risk of running empty. So now think of your life with CGM. Now, this is a device that reduces your finger pricks, gives you real-time window into your body, and now you see your sugar levels anytime, which means fewer surprises and just much more control. So in Canada, thousands of people have embraced CGM, and we've seen some real impact in terms of health systems. So hospital visits are down, emergency episodes have dropped, people with type 1 diabetes can focus more on just living and less on their condition. And I know this is not all sunshine and rainbows because CGMs are not cheap
Right.
and not everyone has easy access, but it's a step. It's a big step towards like better healthcare for chronic conditions. And the reason I'm mentioning all of this is a great example of quality healthcare where we've intertwined innovation, technology, and the focus on the patient's experience. And that's led to just a big improvement in terms of the care that they receive. So that example to me is this revolution that's happened in Canada that speaks volumes in terms of what we can do when we kind of bring in all of these different ingredients together.
Yeah, and it's interesting to me because you're talking about information and access to information that is both push and pull. And what I mean by that is if you want to know, then you go and you look and see what the reading is on your smartphone. And the converse is if your glucose levels reach a dangerous, a dangerous level, then you can get an automatic alert on your cell phone that says, "Hey, your glucose levels are bad." And so it's both, you can go in search of the information, and the information can come to you when you need it most. And that, I mean, to me, it sounds like a win-win because of the nature of, well, okay, let me put it this way. With people with disabilities and doing advocacy for people with disabilities, knowledge is power. And
Right.
that CGM is giving you the knowledge of what's going on in your body. Does that make sense to you? Have I summarized it?
Absolutely, right? And this is something that you can easily apply to other areas as well. Like right now, everyone has Fitbit or an Apple Watch, for example, and Apple Watch has now integrated, ECG and being able to monitor your heart in real time. So now there's a lot of times you can detect, and we've seen many examples of people detecting some sort of cardiac event before it actually happens as a result of, 24/7 monitoring. So that's amazing, and that's something that gives me comfort. When my parents who end up having these type of watches, it allows me to know like they are being kind of taken care of 24/7. At least they can monitor it and be able to proactively address it. So that's one example. The other example, when I'm just talking about my parents, is in terms of detecting a fall and letting your loved one know that a fall has happened. So Apple Watch does that as well, where if one of my parents ends up having a fall, it'll immediately alert me and the emergency number that a fall has happened and to send 911 immediately to their house. That gives a lot of comfort where parents, unless I phone them, if I phone them every day, I'll probably catch them in the 10-minute window that I'm actually talking to them. But in reality, outside that 10-minute window, I don't know what's exactly going on.
Sure.
So that gives another comfort in terms of seniors being actually taken care of as well. So you can imagine all of these wearables actually coming in to help prevent things from happening, whether it's complications or events or whatever it is.
Definitely. And having it so that the information is being monitored, but it's being monitored remotely, so to speak, and it's being monitored by AI, so it's not somebody else digging into your data and having access to that. Okay, tell me, what do you wish people understood about your role in healthcare?
In my role as a partner leading our life science and healthcare consulting business, my role is multifaceted. And what I wish people understood is that it's not about just a consulting firm just doing strategies and implementations of projects, because that loses the essence of what we're really trying to do. In every decision or every project we undertake, at its core, it's about improving lives and strengthening our healthcare system. So from AI and digital health to health strategy, each element of our work aims to make a tangible difference in the lives of Canadians. And for me, whether it's professionally or personally, I'm driven by a commitment to serve those in need, especially in underserved and vulnerable communities. So this is true right now in my current role. It was true in my previous roles as an epidemiologist, a researcher, and a bioethicist. The only difference in my current role is I'm harnessing that same type of, let's call it, passion at a larger scale and driving change across the landscape to create better outcomes for patients. So it's not about projects. It's about what we're doing within the projects. And we know it's all steps to try to improve our healthcare system. And I'm quite privileged to be able to shape and see through all of these transformations in partnership with our clients and trying to make a real impact on people's lives. So that's what I want people to take away from my role in the consulting firm.
Perfect. What excites you about the future of healthcare?
Rob, I get excited when I think about the future of healthcare because there's so much possibility, especially, and you may not be surprised, in terms of how digital health and technology kind of comes in, because that's where I start to see a lot of changes. And there's a few areas I get excited about. So we're entering a new era in telemedicine or telehealth, which was a lifeline during COVID, right? And it's evolving into first choice for many patients. So patients now more than ever expect healthcare to be accessible and convenient. And this shift is pushing the boundaries of how we monitor health remotely, how we use wearable devices like we're talking about, and how AI is revolutionizing things like diagnostics, where we can detect diseases early as well. And all of this is enhancing patient engagement, patient experience, patient outcomes. Then there's things like interoperability, which is a buzzword we use in the tech world, may not be as much in the layperson world, but to me, it's a real game changer. And what this is, it's about breaking down silos in healthcare data, and it's making information seamlessly flow between clinicians and patients, which is as important as all of the other things I've been talking about. So if we seamlessly flow information in, we empower patients, we give them more control over their health data, and we're truly shifting towards a patient-centric model. And the other things I get excited about is precision medicine and genomics. So we have made significant advancements in personalized treatments, which to me, we're moving towards an era where treatments are tailored to individuals' genetic makeups, particularly in combating rare disease and cancers. And we've seen that with cell and gene therapies, where you're taking portions of your T cells and being able to actually change it in the lab and then injecting it right back in the into your body. To me, that's a truly personalized treatment. Yeah. And so looking ahead, I see the future is really promising. We're talking about a healthcare ecosystem where digital health isn't just part of delivery, but the heart of care delivery. Telemedicine will, you know, become the norm, not the exception. AI and machine learning will play crucial roles in our day-to-day lives. Digital health tools will make us have healthier choices. And then I foresee a health system where we're emphasizing preventative care versus the sick care system that we interact with. Right. So that's where I see the future really heading. And it's an exciting time. I'm full of optimism. And I'm optimistic that we are going to a world where we're truly focusing on the well-being of individuals and communities worldwide. So that makes it very exciting.
Absolutely. All right. Last question for you. And if you can summarize it in a minute or less, that would be wonderful. What is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to improve the quality of healthcare?
That's a great question. Maybe I'm going to go along the same theme around technology and digital. But right now, as I talk about technology and digital, one thing that we can do as medical professionals is educate ourselves around technologies and accelerate adoption. And if we do this correctly, it has a huge impact on patients, meaning having them more, providing them more control and convenience, whether it's accessing healthcare info, booking appointments, and even seeing your doctors. For healthcare providers, we talked about digital tools enhancing efficiency, accuracy, whether it's, you know, electronic health records or using AI for better treatment management. And I feel like if we truly embrace technology, digital, and data, medical professionals could truly make a world of difference in terms of how they manage manage care as well. So I feel like we're really far away from harnessing the full potential, and there's so much more that we can do by taking the right steps to educate ourselves.
Yeah, in some ways, medical professionals can have a slight fear that machines will eventually replace them, but I don't see it that way. I see it as machines and AI helping to shoulder the burden of diagnostics, and you can there will never be a time when we move away from truly, you know, having people at the at that base and the foundation of the treatment, and the AI is just there as a support to make things work better.
Yeah, absolutely, right. And yep. And I think, and you make a good point, right? It's I don't see it as AI replacing physicians. I see physicians using AI replacing physicians who don't use AI, and it's no different than if, you know, if we're armed with, you know, our cell phones, we are just, we have our information at our fingertips, yep, versus someone who doesn't have that information, right? So I think we are just much more informed, much more dangerous in terms of what we do. And that provides physicians the right type of tools to be able to do a better job with their patients.
Yeah. I was just telling my kids the other day that, you know, the cell phone that you have in your pocket is more powerful than the computer that they used to launch the rockets that went to the moon. So put that. All right. Listen, Chanel, thank you so much for being with me today. I appreciate you. I appreciate your time, and I respect your perspective on healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit PerspectivesOnHealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.